Well, I'm excited about the babies that are up front here. And, well, the parents too, actually. I'm excited about them. But in particularly the babies. And there's something about being able to dedicate babies that is a really good thing. And I've been in enough conversation with people that I know sometimes we, in our Christian circles, we question it because there has been some people connect it with infant baptism and a lot of things like that. But actually, godly parents have been dedicating their children to the Lord for really thousands of years. And as I was thinking about it this morning, like, why do we do this? I thought about Jesus. Well, a couple biblical examples of children being dedicated to the Lord. We're familiar with Hannah. We're familiar with Jesus. We're familiar with Samson. A number of people. But I was thinking about Jesus being dedicated. And it says this in Luke chapter 2. It says, "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was completed," speaking of Mary, "they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And I think we've gotten away from that. I was telling them before church, I think we've gotten away from the concept that the children that the Lord gives us are really holy to the Lord. And the Lord is giving them to us for a purpose. And there's a call on their life even before the child is born. The Lord has a call on their life. And so dedication is really about us as parents realizing that God has a call in their lives, and we're committing them back and dedicating them to the Lord for the call that He has placed on their lives. And so I'm excited about the Lord, the children that the Lord has blessed us with in this congregation, and He's blessed us with lots of them, and I'm thankful for that. It is a blessing. Psalm 127:3 says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, and children are a reward from Him." And so as we see lots of children, it's actually a reward that the Lord is giving us. And I want to honor the children here, and all the children in our congregation. And I want to honor the parents as well. So I'm gonna give the parents an opportunity to share a little bit. And I'm going to start over here with Jaden. I'm going to put him on the spot here, Jaden and Gina. And just give you an opportunity to say a few words, and then we'll move into the dedication.
And think about children. First of all, we're grateful and often take for granted the health that we enjoy, at least our family. It's one thing we've experienced is healthy children from day one. Another thing is God uses lots of different things and people to teach us lessons. And one way He's taught me lessons is through my children. There's nothing that keeps me more honest than my children asking how fast I'm going and then commenting on the speed limit. But I'm grateful for our children, each one that God has blessed us with.
I don't have a whole lot to say. A verse picked out. It's Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We would cover your prayers as we raise Zoe and Connor, and keep us in your thoughts, and pray for us and give us advice, and I appreciate everyone here at Life and all that you do.
Well, Chase is definitely a blessing from God, and me and Abby have talked about how many different people that we meet, when we meet in our lifetime, we can reach, and now we've added a third person to our ministry. That's our prayer for Chase.
Some of you might not have been here the first Sunday we brought Summer to church. I talked briefly about her. We picked up Summer at the hospital. Her mother was in prison at that time. We do not know how long we will have Summer, but for right now, we love her like she's our very own. And statistically, children who have a stable first year, second year in a stable home, even if later on in life it's not in a stable situation, they will always do much better. And so we just dedicate her to God in a real way, because we don't know how long our influence will be in her life. But we do pray she would come up for adoption someday. So that's a little bit of a story of Summer, man.
Well, we're very thankful that God has given us a son. And we named him Hudson after Hudson Taylor and his attribute of faithfulness. And then Alexander means defender of mankind. So he's the faithful defender of mankind. And we don't know what God has in mind for him, but we're looking forward to finding out. And we know he has great plans.
We feel tremendously blessed by the gift that God has given us in our little daughter, Elena. It's a great honor to be entrusted to teach and guide a little one throughout life and to teach her about God. We named her Elena Colette, which means light victorious. And a verse that we picked out to go along with that name is 2 Corinthians 4:6, which says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And that's what we want her to be, a victorious light everywhere she goes, just to spread the light and joy and knowledge of God everywhere with her, and to walk victorious in God's strength throughout her life. And our goal as parents is to be able to teach her and guide her in the ways of God. Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing. And I've said already that the Lord has a purpose for these children. And I love Psalm 139, the picture that Psalm 139 gives. It gives us the picture that God has handcrafted your children specifically. When they were being conceived, he came down and formed them exactly how he wanted them to be. And that's all of these children here. And it's a neat picture that God is intricately involved in forming and designing and the development of your children because of the purpose that he has for them. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that in our world of science, that, you know, it's just scientific. A man and a woman get together and a child is born. It's just, we've reduced it to science, but God has developed and designed these children. And so our job as parents is to do all that we can to teach and to train them and to bring them up for the purpose that God has called them to. And it's also our responsibility as a congregation. So I think we'll start over here. Tim, if you could join me. And I just have some questions for you, and then we'll have a prayer of dedication. And I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to just have a prayer of blessing and dedication on them after I ask the question here. Alex and Myrna, is it still your desire to present Elena in dedication to God and his service?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Elena is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life, and do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide her and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come she may of her own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating herself to God's service?
Yes, we do.
Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you care about children.
And we know that your hands are over Elena, and we pray you might bless her little life. May she bring lots of joy to those around her as she grows up. May she be a vessel for you. And I pray you might give Alex and Myrna wisdom as they direct Elena in the way of truth and righteousness. Bless them with lots of joy, yet enough hard times to keep them humble and to keep them trusting in you. So pray you might bless them, make them a blessing wherever they go, three of them, as you tarry, as pray your purpose might be fulfilled in them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I thank you for Elena. I thank you for the gift that she is to Alex and Myrna. I thank you for the life that you've given her and the health that you've given so far. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we as a body of believers join with them in dedicating her to you, to your service. Lord, you've given her as a gift to them, and Lord, they're responding in giving her back to you for the purpose that you've called her to. Lord, I pray for protection over her life, even now in this moment. I ask that you would protect, that you would lead and direct her. Lord, we can do what we can as parents, but we're asking for you to watch over her and to keep her in the years to come. We pray an anointing on her life through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Delmar and Lauren, is it still your desire to present Hudson in dedication to God and his service? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Hudson is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide him and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in the years to come, he may of his own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating himself to God's service?
Father, we thank you for Hudson. We thank you for Delmar and Lauren and for the gift you have given them. We pray that you would impress on them daily the responsibility of giving him back. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that children are in the way that you have promised wisdom for parents. We pray that you would deliver on that promise and make yourself mighty on behalf of those who put their trust in you. We thank you in the name of Jesus.
Father in heaven, we pray a blessing on Hudson this morning, and also on Delmar and Lauren as they raise him. God, their hearts are for you, and I just pray that you give them your wisdom and strength and direction as they help shape and mold the home that Hudson will grow up in. God, I pray that even as a body of believers here at Life, that we could be a positive influence in his life. And God, I pray a hedge of protection around this tiny little man. God, we don't know what you have in store for him, but we pray that your goals, your will for this young life could be accomplished, that he could grow up to choose to serve you with his life and make a difference for you. Pray a blessing and protection on him, and we dedicate him to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeff and Joanna, I think your role here this morning is unique from the standpoint of you're not the biological parents, but I think you're also playing an incredible role because you're stepping in the place of biological parents. You've become the umbrella over her in the time that the Lord has given her to you, and we hope that's for life. But I want to bless you in the role that you're filling, and I think it's very appropriate that you're taking this step as well this morning, as you're that umbrella over her life. And so I want to bless you in that. So Jeff and Joanna, is it still your desire to present Summer in dedication to God and to his service? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Summer is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide her and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come she may of her own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating herself to God's service? Yes. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, excuse me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this occasion. We just thank you for Summer. We just thank you that Jeff and Joanna have this privilege and have this joy. At the moment, we just know not how long this will last. But Father, we just pray that we would seize the moment and just enjoy her. So, Father, we also think of Summer's biological mother. You know where she's at. You know where she's at spiritually. We just pray for her that she would yet seek you as her personal Lord and Savior, that she could have peace that we can, which we all enjoy. So, Father, we just ask a special blessing now on Jeff and Joanna. And on Summer, and as we all support her, as she may yet grow into to know you as her personal Lord and Savior, we ask in Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for Summer. Lord, you have handcrafted her. You've brought her into this world. And Lord, the situation that she's been brought into has been what we would consider not the best. But yet, Lord, you have brought her into this situation. And I believe that you have placed her in Jeff and Joanna's home for this time. And so we dedicate her this morning in the name of Jesus, her life, her future. We dedicate her to you and to your service. And Lord, that you would be with her through her growing up years. Lord, I know Satan would like to use her past to destroy, and we pray against that in the name of Jesus. And instead, we pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit on her life. Lord, bless, anoint her life. Lord, our desire is that she would follow you in years to come and fulfill the purpose that you've called her to, and we dedicate her to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark and Abby, I know you guys have had some unexpected events in the road already, even though it's just been a short one, and have had the opportunity to, I think, learn to trust God in ways that I know when I had when our first child was born, I didn't have quite that same opportunity. And it's been encouraging to see you guys respond and I think grow closer to each other and to God. That's what I've seen and what I've seen you here at church. It's been a blessing. Is it still your desire to dedicate Chase to God? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Chase is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide him and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in the years to come he may of his own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating himself to God's service?
Father, we are so thankful that you are the giver of life, not only physical life, but spiritual life. Thank you for the gift of salvation that you offer to all of us, and it's our interest that whoever influences Chase's life would be instrumental in bringing him to that knowledge. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to have Chase in our extended family. We thank you for health and recognize that you have asked Mark and Abby and those close to give special attention to caring for Chase. God, we ask that sometimes we're not sure if the blessing, if Chase is the one that needs the blessing, or if Mark and Abby do, or if Grandpa and Grandma do. So we ask the blessing on all of us for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you for Chase and for his young life. And God, I believe you're going to use this young man and even the early challenges he had with his health and the diet restrictions that he faces. God, I pray that I think you have a plan in all of that. I don't know what that is, but God, I pray that you could be honored and glorified through his life. I pray that as he grows, as he matures, that he could choose to live his life for you. And Father, I pray for Mark and for Abby, and as his parents, that they could model well what being a disciple of yours looks like. And God, I pray that you give them wisdom, give them understanding, patience, in those times when the road is long and difficult. And God, and for the whole family, as everyone has to make adjustments with his health, I just pray that you could grant flexibility and the ability to adapt well wherever that's needed. And Father, I just pray that you could use this young life to make a difference in your kingdom. We pray a hedge of protection around him in the name of Jesus, and we dedicate him to you and your service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Shannon and Elisa, it's an honor to dedicate Zoe to be here with you again today. I know you haven't had a lot of challenges with her, but you spent a lot of time in the hospital with your other one, and you know what a blessing health is and the Lord's touch on your life. And so, is it still your desire to dedicate Zoe to the Lord? And do you acknowledge your duty to see that Zoe is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide her and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come she may, of her own free choice, accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating herself to God's service? Let's pray.
Our loving Father in heaven, we just want to thank you today for this little gift of life you've given Shannon and Lisa through Zoe. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of life that you give to each one of us each day anew. Father, just we pray that you be with Shannon and Lisa as they raise their young family, Connor and Zoe, that, Father, they could pass on a Christian heritage, and Father, that they could raise their children up to be Christian men and women. Father, also be with Elaine and I's grandparents to help to be a godly example to these young lives, and Father, to form them to be fitting for your kingdom. Father, we pray it is just my will, or if it be your will, Father, it be our desire that they could grow up to love you. Father, again, want to thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, and for his plan of salvation, and Father, that we can have redemption through him. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, I thank you for Zoe, and every breath that she breathes is a gift from you. You've given her as a gift to Shannon and Lisa, actually as a way of blessing them, and I pray for her today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be active in her life even now. Lord, we pray for spiritual protection for her, physical protection. And Lord, I believe you've created her for a purpose that you want to fulfill through her. And we call that into existence even now. And we ask Well, we just dedicate her today for the purpose that you've called her to. I pray for Shannon and Elisa, a blessing on them as parents and an anointing on them as well as they raise her. And thank you again for her gift to them and to us as a body of believers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jaden and Gina, I've noticed that you have a man on your hands that has a lot of energy and a lot of passion for life. And I know firsthand that can take a lot of harnessing. And I just want to bless you as you take that challenge. And I want to pray a blessing on little Jackson's life. The man with a lot of energy, I like that. Is it still your desire as parents to present your child, Jackson, in dedication to God and to his service? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Jackson is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? Do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide him and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come he may of his own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating himself to God's service? Father, I thank you this morning for Jackson. Thank you for the energy and passion that you've given him for life. And God, I just pray that you could use that to do big things for you someday. God, I pray that you give Jaden and Gina wisdom as they direct his young life. Father, I pray that you could use the passion that you've placed in him, the energy, the zest for life, to make a difference in your kingdom. God, it's exciting to watch young lives. And God, I just pray that you'd place a hedge of protection around Jackson. I pray that someday he could make a difference for you in the church, in his family, and wherever you choose to place him. God, I pray for his siblings as well, that as they influence him and as he influences them, that you could knit the family together and that they could be a dynamic family for you. I just dedicate Jackson to you this morning in Jesus' name. I pray this in his name. Amen.
I had the opportunity on Friday to spend some time thinking about some future things for the church, and I began really getting excited about equipping and training people for the work God's called them to, and I'm excited about that for us as a congregation for these children, and that's thinking way down the road. But I believe the whole thing of teaching and training doesn't lie just with the parents. We also, as a congregation, have a responsibility to provide a Christian environment and to actually to be a safe place for them to grow and mature, that we can be safe people and a safe place for them. And that's my prayer. And I'd just like, as a congregation, if you're willing to accept that role and to be there as a support for them as parents, if you would just stand as a sign of your commitment to them. Actually, even if you're not an exact member of this congregation, you can stand as well, and we'll pray. Have a prayer. Lord, I thank you for these children. With these children come a responsibility, not only for the parents, but for us as a congregation, for us as extended family that are here today. Lord, we want to be people, a couple of things. We want to be people that can provide a safe environment for them to grow and mature, safe physically, but also safe spiritually and relationally. God, there's a lot that happens in churches that can destroy people, and we don't want to be that. And so we need you to help us through your Holy Spirit. We commit ourselves to doing all that we can to walk close with you and following you. And we want to link arms
with these parents that are standing up front as well. And so we commit ourselves to you today for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being up here. Blessings to you as parents and grandparents as well.
Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here today. They're an important part of our lives, important part of our world, and we want to honor you today. A man came home from work to find his three children outside still playing in their pajamas, playing in the mud. The door to his wife's car was open and the front door to the house was open. There was no sign of the dog. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. The lamp was knocked over. In the front room was a TV blaring loudly on the cartoon channel. The family room was covered with toys and various clothing items. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter and the fridge door was wide open. Dog food spilled on the floor. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and piles of clothing, looking for his wife. He was worried that she might be ill or something seriously had happened. He was met by a small trickle of water as it made its way out of the bathroom door. As he peered inside, he found wet towels, scummy soap, and more toys strewn over the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap. Toothpaste had been smeared on the walls and mirrors. He rushed into the bedroom, found his wife still curled up in the bed in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him and smiled and asked how his day went. He looked at her in bewilderment and asked, "What happened here today?" She again smiled and answered, "You know, every day you come home from work and ask me what in the world I do." "Yes," he said incredulously. "Well, today I didn't do it." And all the mothers said amen. Our last cell group, Vernon opened with the verse, Proverbs 31:31, "Honor for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gates." Some versions say reward her, honor her, reward her. And that got me thinking about Mother's Day. The other week, I was pretty discouraged with the news of the day and the morale of our country. Plan B had just been okayed for the pharmaceutical counter, and an athlete came out saying he was homosexual, and I was like, where's America heading? And I was reminded of the verse in Matthew 16:18. It says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The church will live on forever until the Lord comes. And I believe if we have any chance of influencing our society for what is right, we as believers need to be on the ball and to show the world what a real family looks like, what a real mom and a real dad looks like. We need to honor and reward our mothers for their faithfulness and all they have done. This morning I want to celebrate our mothers a little bit. It'd be nice to give each of you time to talk about your mothers and your wives as they mother your children, but we won't take time to do that. But it says, "To honor for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise in the city gates." Inside the gates was a place where people congregated back in the day, and people mingled, and stories were told. And I can imagine, people talking about their mothers for what they have done, or talking about their moms and what they did, or a neighbor talking about, you know, your wife, or a coworker talking about your mom. Just sharing stories of how they have impacted, their lives have impacted them. And I was just thinking in our community, my wife is known in our community as the Betty Crocker. They look forward to different times of the year where we hand out baked goods to the neighbors at Christmas time. And so, you know, it's how we talk about our wives and our mothers. And husbands, I think we do well in praising our wives and let them give them reward for their faithfulness and their industry and how they take care of the house and all they do around the house to make the house a home. And I think we do well in letting her receive the honor and not take the credit for ourselves. Like saying, you know, she couldn't do it without me. Let's give them the credit. Or, I taught her all she knows. Well, is that true? Let's give the credit to our wives for the exceptional deeds they have done and not to take the honor. I know there's things that Diane does better than I do. It's just a flat out fact. Sam, you're probably laughing for some reason. But there's things our wives do that do better than we do. And let's honor them and reward them for that. Husbands, when was the last time you honored your wife in front of your children and told them how blessed they are and rewarded their mother for their service to the family? Or how about in front of our friends or our coworkers? How do we talk about our wives and our mothers? You know, I cringe when people call their wives the old lady or their mother the old lady. I cringe inside the connotation that brings. I think if we've been neglectful, we can all probably do better in rewarding our wives and our mothers, whether you're still at home or if you've gone out from the home, but to honor them, to reward them. You know, isn't that what the Lord does to this church, his bride? How the blessings he gives to us, the rewards that are waiting for us. Revelation 14:13 says, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds will follow them. Revelation 22:12, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. Our Heavenly Father rewards the bride, his church, us as believers. And husbands, let's take up the challenge. And children, to reward our mothers for their faithfulness, for how they have served us. That leads me to the second part of my message. I want to tie in Mother's Day and baby dedication. And, you know, fathers and mothers join together for one of the biggest undertakings and the biggest responsibilities of bringing a beautiful, helpless, adorable bundle. And you could keep on adding adjectives, but bringing this bundle into the world and to lead them to Jesus and to prepare them for what God has for them, as has been talked this morning about the vision for these children. And if you're not a parent here this morning, but you work with children, you have an opportunity to influence them for eternity. Don't think just because you're not a parent that you can't influence a child. Maybe you're a teacher and you're not married. Or maybe you're a young person. I think of kids clubs, of how you can impact those children for eternity. I believe this message is for you as well. Open your Bibles to Psalms 127. I will read verses 1 through 5. Psalms 127, 1 through 5. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toil for food to eat, and he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him. Like heirs in the hands of a mighty warrior, children are born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they contend with the opposition, with the opponents in the courts. Focusing on verses 3 through 5 of the heritage of these children are from the Lord. And the passage speaks of children are his arrows and having confidence in his arrows. Now, I'm going to use the illustration of an archer this morning. Now, an archer, when he goes out hunting, he just doesn't grab a stick and put a stone on the end of it and expect to hit anything. Well, there's a lot of archers here this morning, and I don't think one of you would take this arrow, if you may call it an arrow, hunting. There's a lot of things wrong with it. It's crooked. It's not balanced. The broadhead isn't on very good. It's duct taped on. But an archer carefully selects his arrows when he goes out to hunt or to battle, whatever the case may be. He carefully selects arrows for the task at hand. There's a lot of different arrows, and I know enough about arrows to be dangerous. So I have Dallas talking here, but there's different arrows for different purposes. Here is a heavy arrow, a fat arrow. That is a target arrow. And here's a little skinny arrow. And don't ask me why you would shoot a little skinny arrow. But this is a little skinny arrow, and it has a specific purpose that this big fat one doesn't have. And so there's different weights, there's different strength, there's different thicknesses of arrows, but they all have a specific purpose. And a lot of time is put into weighing these arrows. A lot of time is put into selecting arrows for the appropriate, if you're going hunting deer or moose or bear or rabbits or turkey, there's a lot of time put into selecting the arrows. Now, the illustration breaks down into the fact that the arrows God gives us, these children, are not pre-selected by us. God gives us the children. We don't pick our children or arrows. And God has given us children that are for different purposes, and they have different missions in life. And so your quiver may have multiple different kinds of arrows. Each of your children are different, and you can all attest to that. Your children are not all the same. Your first one may be as gentle as a lamb, and the last one may be one who wants to tear it up. It says, happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. I know a lot of people have said, or some people have said, that a quiver holds 7 arrows. So if your quiver is full and you have 7 children, you're happy. I don't necessarily... I believe that an archer going into battle with full confidence in his arrows is a blessed man. If I'm going to battle and I have these arrows all properly weighed and outfitted and selected, that I can go into battle with confidence in the courts of the enemy. I can go with confidence. And I believe that our responsibility as parents is to equip these arrows and to be able to send them out with confidence. And the more arrows the man has in his quiver, the more enemies he can destroy. The more light, the more darkness he can dispel with light, as we think of our children going out into the world. Now, there's a lot of important parts of an arrow. I'll use this one for... one of the important parts of an arrow is the fletching on an arrow. An arrow comes called a raw shaft, and it's important to put fletching on them for guidance, for stability, as this arrow is in flight, and so that it'll hit the mark. And as parents, we are the bow that shoots these arrows out into the world. And I'm not going to go into a lot of it, but a bow has to be properly tuned in order for an arrow to be shot properly. There's all kinds of things you can do to a bow to make it shoot well. And I want to equate that to us as parents, being properly tuned in our relationship with God, having a growing relationship with God. It's important the bow that is shooting these arrows properly tuned. And parents, we need to be all we can for God. Have a growing relationship with God. Being spiritually hungry to follow after God. Be men and women of the Word. Ready to teach, ready to lead by example. We have an awesome responsibility. It's a great experience to take these children from the cradle and to send them out, but it's an awesome responsibility. It can also be a rewarding responsibility. God gives us what I say a raw shaft, a child, a helpless little child. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." But God's given us the responsibility to fine-tune this arrow, to put fletching on this arrow, so that it'll fly and hit the target that God has intended for it to hit. Most arrows have three fletches on it, veins, fletches, whatever you want to call them. So this morning I have three principles that I think that if we apply to our children, will bring stability and guidance as we send them off into the world. The first one is faith in God. I believe we need to lead them to God. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he is to go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it." And the departing, or when he is old, departing, we hear a lot of people say, well, if you do the right things, your child will not depart. That's not always true, but not easily and not ordinarily will they depart. I believe generally when we take these tender hearts God's entrusted to us and marinate them in the ways of God, in the Word of God, that they will not quickly depart from what they are taught. I was reminded of the chicken barbecue we did last week. Some of you were a part of that. We did a fundraiser chicken barbecue, and Loyal was a big part of that. And I was thinking about being marinated in God's Word, in the ways of God. And we had the chicken barbecue on Saturday. And on Thursday, we got all the chicken and we put it in a marinating sauce and we left it soak. And I've had a lot of chicken barbecue, but I have to say that was some of the best chicken barbecue, because some people who do chicken barbecue, and this may be the way you do it, and that's fine, but when they put it on the roaster, they just spray stuff on it. But this chicken barbecue was from the first layer to the bottom layer was soaked in that sauce, and it was just flavor the whole way through. Now think about that as we raise our children for God. When we marinate them in the Word of God and the ways of God in our homes, they may of their own choice depart from what they have been taught, but I don't believe that that will ever leave their minds. The marinating of God's Word on their hearts, I don't believe it would ever leave their minds. It'll go with them for life. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up." And it was interesting to learn that the phrase "train up" has to do with the cleft of the palate in the Hebrews, a time when the babies were born. The midwives would take a date sauce and rub it on the cleft of the palate, which would make them thirsty and would help them in nursing to get them to nurse right away. And that's the idea. As we train our children, we need to make them thirsty for the Word of God, make them thirsty for the ways of God. And that comes by leading, by sharing His Word, to create a thirst for God, the ways of God. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." You know, that's an awesome picture of the walking with your children. As you go about your day's activities, to find time to talk with them, to answer their questions. Don't be threatened by their questions. Don't say, "Because I said so," or "Because the Bible says so." Help them to think through their questions. Help them to think and be able to process and think through what the Bible says, and teach them how to study the Bible. Help them to understand the Spirit's leading in their life. help them be able to share their faith. So when they face the outside world, they'll be able to go with confidence, send them out with confidence. Matthew 19:14 says, "Little children, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." You know, it reminded me of bringing them up to God, or introducing them to the ways of God very young, very early in their lives, from day one. And sometimes we get so caught up in our work, in our activities, in our pursuits, our hobbies, whether it's playing sports or golf or fishing or hunting, or and we get caught up in that, and sometimes our kids are watching what is most important in our life. There's nothing wrong with being involved in those activities, but those activities are not the end. They are a great way to bring our kids along and to teach them the message. Let's never forget they are not the end, that Jesus is most important. And they need to know that. So the first vein, or the fletch on our arrow, is a guiding principle of faith. And it's one that you cannot put on unless you have yourself. And it's not passed on through genetics, it's passed on from heart to heart as we live and practice what we believe. And this is probably a duh, but if we're depending on the hour that you're here, or 2 hours you're here on Sunday morning to do the job, it's not going to cut it. God's put a great responsibility on our shoulders to convey truth and principle to our children. The second vein on our arrow, and this is not conclusive, this is what I just came up with, is family. But I think if we apply these three to our children, it'll bring stability in their lives. The first one is faith in God. The second one is family, the security of a family. God has given us a family to be a nurturing place to bring up children. And I believe the most important thing is that mom and dad, we love each other. We need to be on top of our relationship together, to love each other. I set a good example of what marriage looks like. I asked Dan for permission to use this story. He was teaching the last two Sundays, and he said about, he worked in Fairfax, and a man, I'm not sure if I have this correctly, but I'll give the gist of it. A man wanted to know what a real family looked like, a real marriage looked like. He said he's never seen a marriage that worked. And so he wanted to come to, I guess he invited himself to Dan and Emma's house to come to see how a husband and wife could work together. Husbands and wives, let's be the models for our children of what a husband and a marriage looks like. Let's teach as we go. Take time for teachable moments. You may be busy and your children have questions. Take time to listen. When I was on the farm, I did that more than I can now. But there was times we just sit down on the barn wall or the feed bunk and just talk about life, talk about a lot of things. And take time for teachable moments. Let your children know they are loved, and loved unconditionally. Let them know they are loved unconditionally. And if they mess up, let's discipline in love. Let's discipline in love. Allow growth opportunities to happen. Not that they just did wrong, but allow growth opportunities to happen. And that does not change our love for them, no matter what they've done. It does not change our love for them. And sometimes when they get that message that when they mess up, they're a bad person, it sends them on a performance-based acceptance journey that leads to bad things. So let's assure them of our love. Praise them when they do. Praise them for what they do. And this is an area I need to grow in. Sometimes when children mow the yard, and I'm not thinking anything particular to my children, but sometimes when they mow the yard, they don't do it like you would do it. So how are you going to address that in your children? You don't go up to say, and hey, you missed this spot over here. So how can we make that a teachable moment and a good moment? And can we acknowledge what they did, Mo? Say, man, you did a good job. And the next time, can we say, hey, let's get a little closer to the bush this time. And just find ways we can encouragingly encourage our children and bless them in what they do. Let's make our homes a safe place. There's no place like home. A place where they love to be. How many of you can remember coming home from school? Remembering the smell that was in the kitchen. Remembering you wonder where mom is. And she answers, what do you want? Nothing. I just want to know you're here. But make home a place where children love to be. Let's laugh together. Find ways to laugh together. Teach them, allow them to have friends over. Allow them to friends to come to your house to make it a place where they love to be. Teach them to respect authority. And that begins at home. Teach them to respect authority in the home. At school and on the road, teach them to respect authority wherever they meet authority. The last fletch I have for my arrow, the first one is faith in God, the second one is the security of a family, and the third one is vision for their lives. And I think this is so important, to give them a vision for who God created them and designed them to be, to help them understand their gifts, their talents, and their abilities, to help them understand who they are and who God made them to be. Allow them to be who God created them to be, and not what you think they should be. A lot of parents live through their children. And can we allow our children to be who God created them to be? And find creative ways to use their gifts that God gave them. And bless them. The power of the spoken words is powerful, to speak life into our children. My mind went to Jacob and Esau, of how Jacob stole the birthright and the blessing from Esau. And how Esau's heart ached that he did not receive that blessing. And the picture of their lives from that point on was totally opposite. I believe God's blessing is God's mechanism of imparting his image and identity and destiny to the hearts of our children and people. And I believe cursing is Satan's mechanism of imparting his image and identity and destiny on the hearts of our children and people. And so many times that's so true, that we don't bless our children and they receive messages of cursing that goes with them for a lifetime. I believe it's so important that we bless our children regularly. Bless them for who they are and for what you vision you see for them in the future. I believe it's God's way of imparting deep into the heart of a person his image, his identity, and his destiny. And I believe it's so important for the health and wholeness of our children, for their emotional health, for their financial, physical, and family dynamics. I believe it affects so many areas of their life. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The last thing I have for vision is empower them. Get behind them and who they are as a child. Get behind them and what they're doing and support them for God. And as you send this arrow out into the world, send them out with prayer. Bathe them with prayer. It's so important. It doesn't end when they leave your home. Continue praying for them. Daily in your lives, in your marriage, in your home. And as you send them out, you begin to realize how important these principles are that you've instilled into their life, that of faith in God, that of the security of the family, and that of vision for their lives. These guiding principles. Newton's third law of motion says that with every force, there is a reactive force. I want you to take a look, Carl, if you'll put the video up. Take a look of what happens to an arrow when it's shot out of a bow. Take a look. Pretty incredible. How many of you thought an arrow went straight? It's pretty incredible when you see what actually really happens to an arrow when it's shot out of a bow. Now, I was made to think, you know, there's a lot of pressure on our children when we release them into the world. There's a lot of pressure on them. And how will they respond to that pressure? Will they respond in a positive or negative way? We don't know what they will face or what winds will blow their way. And I know there's children here this morning, there's probably people here this morning that were not raised in a godly home or did not have godly parents to instill those principles in their lives. But I believe God has been faithful. If you are here and are a child of God, there are those you can look to in your life that have poured into your life, have poured energy into seeing that you become a believer, have provided a safe place, a family, and those who have spoken words of life and vision into your life. And we thank God for that, for taking care of you in that way. But I believe it's our job as parents to do the best we can for the children God's given us and to place guiding principles in their lives that will bring stability when they face the pressures of the world which they live in. And I believe if we apply these principles to our arrows, to our children, I believe we're giving them what they will need to live lives that will bring honor and glory to God. And isn't that the bullseye of our mission? Their mission is to bring honor and glory to God. I've just done the easy part. The hard part is when the amen is going to be said, and I join you, and we take up the task. And by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, will any good come out of our lives. May God help us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning where we can gather together as believers to hear from you, to worship you, to honor our mothers, to dedicate children. And Lord, I pray that as we as parents, that we be faithful in raising our children for you and giving them what they need to face the world, what they need to fulfill their mission here in life. Lord, we're not perfect. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail. Help us to be honest and to acknowledge that. And to get back up and give it all we've got. Lord, for the children who may be here whose parents have not stepped into the gap, Lord, I thank you for those who you've given to them to provide the guidance they need. Lord, bless them abundantly. Lord, may we all be faithful to you for what you've called us for here on this earth, to bring you much honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.